Welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny Pena, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna Manuel Pena, Danny's wife. And we took a little bit of a break. As we are recording, it is the Saturday before Mother's Day and is also a big week for me personally coming up. Just a quick note to everybody that I am actually stepping back from my full-time position. So this is the big announcement that we teased in our YouTube channel post. But yeah, I've decided that I want to spend more time being a mom to our little girl, Violet. So mm-hmm. I am going to be working part-time and dedicating more of my time to my motherhood. So very excited and want to say thank you to everybody who's supporting me in this decision. Number one being a Mr. Danny Pena. Thank you, babe.
Hey, I have to support 100%. You know, it's our family. I'm glad that we're going to have more time to do stuff together now.
Yeah.
Not only with our business, but also family. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. So yeah. Congrats for making the move.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody listening and watching for bearing with us for the short break that we took. Took some time and effort to sort all of this out for our family. So we appreciate you hanging in there and we're glad you've come back. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. Danny, what are we discussing today?
All right. So in this episode, first of all, I want to say hello to everybody and thank you for watching and listening to the podcast. Make sure to continue to post your comments, feedbacks, and questions. Also, interact with our poll. I'm going to put a new poll on this one, and it's about our discussion about handheld. Mm. So we're going to go all the way from the back in the days to currently what type of handhelds we'll be playing now and what we think is going to happen in the future. So, Ree, should we start?
Let's get started. Yeah, I guess maybe we should start with what was your first handheld, because I'm assuming it's going to be probably the same one as mine.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be way before than yours. Because
yours?
So there was this handheld device back in the early 80s that was from Nintendo, Game Watch. It was they had like a Donkey Kong one, a couple. I think that's the one that I had back then. I know recently, a couple years ago, Nintendo released a Game Watch version similar to like the one from back in the days. So that was my first handheld. Now, it wasn't like a Game Boy or anything like that. But fast forward, that was actually my first official next generation type handheld in the 80s. Game Boy. For me.
So yeah, the original Game Boy was my first handheld as well, which is why I was assuming we would line up, but you have a Game & Watch. So our handheld experience seems to be pretty much on par. And from there, what did you like about the original Game Boy? What was exciting when it came out and when you got it?
What's exciting was two things that I was like, my mind was mind blown with this. Actually, a couple of things. One, playing Tetris for the first time. Tetris for the first time on the go. Because I would play Tetris on like the original console, NES. But playing that on the go was awesome. Now, the part that was mind-blowing, another friend of mine also had a Game Boy and also Tetris. So we connected the link cable from my Game Boy to his.
Right.
And we're doing multiplayer. I was like, yo, this is amazing. Oh my God, this is so cool.
Very forward thinking for the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was amazing about the Game Boy. Another thing, playing games like Mario Brothers, I think it was called Mario Land. That was for the Game Boy. That was really cool to play. It was kind of weird, the animation. I had to get used to it because I was so used to the original Mario Bros. And the NES. So that was awesome and strange at the same time. But another game that I remember, it came out and I was obsessed. It was one of the Zelda games. I can't remember the name of it, but it was also for the Game Boy. So that was awesome. The bad thing about the Game Boy back in those days is you can't play it in the dark. If it's dark, you can't see anything. Because of the technology back then for that device. You know, I remember there was like all types of like third party peripherals where you could connect like a flashlight or like a little like light or something. Lamp. Yeah, and it wasn't that great, honestly. So yeah, that was for me. The things that I loved about Game Boy. Minus the changing the battery every few weeks, you know. So yeah.
Double A's, right?
Four double A's.
Mm-hmm.
Four double A's. I remember that. Well, what about you?
I really loved the Game Boy. So I was very young when I had mine, and it was my essentially my my Mega Man machine. Mm. Right? Like that's the game that I played the most. And I never beat it. Like I wasn't great. I wasn't like a high skilled child gamer. I played for fun. But I remember just like consistently like beating my head against like bosses and taking it with me absolutely everywhere. There's a really fun picture of me on the couch at my uncle's house during a family cookout or reunion or something. And somebody like called my name and I looked over my shoulder as I'm playing my Game Boy with the meanest attitude. Like, how dare you interrupt my Game Boy time? Mm-hmm. So I was very attached to it. And, you know, being almost an only child growing up, my brother and sister are 11 and 13 years older. So, you know, we grew up very different times. They were out of the house by this time when I was a kid, and we didn't live together. So I had to, you know, entertain myself. I had to find something to do all day. And I read a lot and I played Game Boy. So that was kind of like my little companion, and I hated that I couldn't play it in the dark because I wanted to play it late at night, obviously. But you know, you always try to figure out a setup with a flashlight under the covers so you can sneak in a couple games after you go to bed. So that was the way that I interacted with it. And I think I had other games, but honestly, Mega Man is the only one I really remember strongly. I was the kind of kid that latched on to one game and played the heck out of it. So I wasn't the kind to like go to, because I didn't have any like gaming magazines or really any friends who played video games. So I didn't really know how to find new games. Discoverability just wasn't a thing for me as a young kid playing games. So, you know, I found my one little title and wrote it till the wheels fall off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was my experience.
Yeah, I know throughout the years, there was like so many different Game Boys. I know Game Boy Color.
Yeah, never had any of those.
DX. I had those. There was one that actually my cousin, one of my closest cousins, Rosalind, she would play just one game and one game only. That was just Tetris. So yeah. So she had, I had the original Game Boy. But then I upgraded to like different versions. The color one was exciting. I'm like, oh man, it's in color now, you know? So now I know the Super Nintendo also had like a cartridge where you could put the original Game Boy games on that cartridge, and you could play on a TV too. Instead of playing. So I had that one too.
I can't remember
the name. I think it was Super Game Boy or something like that was called. I don't know. It was so long.
Wow.
But now I know throughout the years there was so many different other handheld devices. Game Gear, I had that.
Now, I had the Game Gear, and let me tell you, that one I played the most, because obviously it was a couple years later for me, that's where I played almost all of my Sonic. And like, when I say like playing the same levels, the same game over and over and over again, like that music, obviously it's such an earworm, right? And especially the casino level, like that music, I could play it in my head right now because it was just burned into my memory. And the fact that it was an illuminated screen meant I could finally play this in secret at night.
And
that Game Gear, even though it was a little chonky, like it was a big piece of handheld hardware for my little child hands. That may be my favorite handheld until we get into modern era.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like Game Gear that much because I was living in the Dominican Republic, so you know, as a kid, money, I didn't have much money like that. You know, I didn't want to bother my parents, like buy me batteries, everything all the time. And the reason is I remember buying batteries for that device. It lasted like maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh God.
It wasn't the greatest battery. So that was the part that was like really, really annoying about it. Because the power will go out a lot in the era that I used to live. Mm-hmm. So I have to like wait until I come back. Once I come back, I had it connected to the plug and I'll play. But I remember playing only Sonic. That was the all yep. new game that I played. Actually, the first Sonic game for the Game Gear. Now, same. fast forward, there was other devices, probably devices you have never even heard of. I had the Neo Geo Pocket.
Okay.
Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
That was really cool. It was small. It wasn't that many great games. The only one that I had was like a fighting game. It was like the SNK fighting game.
Okay, yeah.
That was really cool. It was very small. I loved the little device. It was cool. Now, here's a story that I have.
Oh, okay.
So I remember being online just this during that time. It was like message boards. And I was reading that people were buying the Game Boy Advance imported from Japan.
Right, yeah.
And when I used to live in New York City, there was a store in downtown, all the way in downtown by Canal Street, in Chinatown, around there, where they have imported games. So I usually will go there and buy stuff early. So like I remember buying games for like Sega Dreamcast, and it worked on my Sega Dreamcast US version. So I was like, man, if I buy this imported version, is that going to be compatible with the English version in the future, like the games that comes out? And people were saying like this is region free. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go buy it. So I bought the system, Game Boy Advance. My mind was blown. Graphically looked a lot better than the Game Boy. And I bought Mario Kart. And I remember playing it when I was riding the train back home from downtown, and people were just looking at me like, what is that? What is that device? And people will stop me like, hey, can I ask you a question? What is that? Like, they were so curious about it. And I mentioned, yeah, it's the new Nintendo device. It just came out in Japan. This is like an imported version. So yeah, it had everything was fine. Like everything was in English. It was fine for me, man. And that was like my handheld device I had for a very, very long time. And the one that I remember stood out to me the most was buying Advance Wars. So the reason why that game stood out to me, it was right after 9/11. It's like days after that game just came out. And it was like a very dark time for me living in New York. And that was like the game that, like, you know, helped me out, you know, got me like in a really good mood playing the Advance Wars the whole time. So it was that and Mario Kart. So it was really, really cool.
Nice. Very cool.
Was there any devices like in the early 2000s, late 90s that you got after that, or was just what we have now?
I went from the Sega Game Gear to fast forward to the Switch.
Oh, that's a big jump.
Yeah, huge gap for me.
Very huge gap.
Very huge gap. And the reason was I played a lot of console games, right? Didn't have a PC, didn't play anything on PC. And I played a lot of games on my phone. Honestly, I've been a very, very avid mobile gamer for a long time, which is something I don't talk a lot about. Just because, you know, there's really not the same thriving mobile game community that I have found as, you know, console and PC games. So yeah, I would play a lot of stuff on my phone in the modern era, of course. And there was a gap in there where I didn't play games on any sort of handheld device for a very long time, just because I was busy. It didn't suit my lifestyle at the time. You know, during college, I really stopped playing games for a while. And then, you know, I'm busy, I got jobs, I'm going out all the time. Like, I just wasn't thinking about playing games during, you know, my time out of the house the same way as I used to. Games really became my relaxation, decompression thing when I got home, right? So I just wasn't in the handheld lifestyle for quite some time until the Switch came out, and I got a Switch Lite.
Switch Lite. Very interesting that you mentioned the Switch and not the, and this is before the Switch, PSP.
Nope.
The PS Vita. I love Vita. Vita was awesome. Vita looked really, great. Really cool.
Just, yeah, again, I had that one too. It missed me with the lifestyle and with what was going on with me at the time.
Yeah.
I missed all the DSs. Got none of the DSs.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you. I remember I remember going to E3 and we went to the Nintendo press conference and they were like, we have this new device, the Nintendo 3DS. Now you could watch 3D without using the glasses. And we're like, really? You could do that? This is wild. So once they were done, they had demo stations all over the theater. And I remember using the device for the first time. And I'm like, yo, this thing is in 3D. This is so cool. Now, it was cool at that time. But when I got it, you know, when I got it at home, I never really played on 3D. I think I felt like after a while, it was like just a gimmick.
Yeah.
But the 3DS and the DS, like the original DS and 3DS, I really liked those devices. It was a lot of cool games. I love the double screen.
Yeah,
where one
very
screen
unique
might be
design.
Very unique. Like one, let's say there's certain games, there will be like a map, and on top will be, you know, you playing, or like let's say you're playing a game like Mario Kart. You see the track where everybody's at and everything. Like that's really, really cool from the bottom screen. And then on top will be like the regular game. So I had a really good time. I just felt like just the 3D feature was a gimmick.
Totally. Sure, gimmick.
Yeah. But I had the new 3DS where this was like certain games were only playable on that device, not the other ones. Yeah, so that was really cool. I remember getting that early from Nintendo, and I surprised the kids. God, I used to live in Miami, so I got all my cousin's kids together. And I'm like, yeah, I got a surprise. And everybody freaked out, like, oh my God, this is the new 3DS. Oh my God. And I showed it to them, and they were playing different games. It was really cool. Now, because of the Switch, I know you mentioned the Switch a few minutes ago. That, to me, completely changed the game for not only Nintendo, but just the gaming industry in general. Because now there's a lot of companies like Valve, they released the Steam Deck. I know there's other competitors that are similar to that, too, where you could just download your games from different stores, or like for the Steam Deck would be directly from that store, and you could play PC games on the go.
Yeah.
What do you think about having that experience now? Because I know you also are an owner of a Steam Deck.
Yeah, it's interesting because I haven't tried the ROG Ally, but I know that that is comparable to the Steam Deck and, you know, similar use case, right? Like I want to play PC games, as you mentioned, but like either on the go or more often just like away from the main screen in the house, right? Like away from my computer desk. And that has been honestly a game changer for me because, as I said, I didn't really have a PC growing up. I haven't really been a PC gamer until very recently. And there are so many games that I would not be able to play, or I just wouldn't have found if not for my Steam Deck. And at this point, it's become a combination of like my indie game machine. So playing, you know, smaller indie titles, and also playing some of like the more popular titles like we just talked about recently, Hades 2, and just being able to pick it up at any moment, right? Like I can pick it up in a heartbeat. I don't have to like sit down, turn on my computer, make sure all of my apps are closed, like boot up the game, plug in a controller. Like there's many steps, right? And it doesn't take a long time, but it does, you know, create a ritual that you have to go through. And, you know, having a kid, it's got to be way faster than that if I'm going to sneak in a quick couple of rounds in any game. So having the Steam Deck where I can just grab it from the table right next to me, pop it on, it remembers what I was doing, and I hit play and I'm in, has completely revolutionized PC gaming for me. And I am so, so happy that I have one. I'm glad that we each have our own because there's lots of times when we're both playing them at the same time. And it's just really opened up a whole new world of video game experiences that I'm able to capitalize on, which is really cool. And I know there's a lot of things that allow you to play your PC games like in a different room or on a different screen. But this is just, you know, taking it to a whole nother level of approachability and accessibility that just makes it way easier to travel and play, way easier to play at home, like in between doing stuff with the kid. Like it's just the perfect companion for a parent who wants to play video games.
Yeah, you know what? I traveled to Memphis, and during my flight, I was playing Fallout 4 on the Steam Deck. Yeah. It was smooth. It was great.
I was rose in popularity after the amazing Fallout TV series.
Yeah, because I didn't have Hades 2. I mean, I played the technical test. And I already beat it. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to wait till the early access comes out. Mm-hmm. So I got the early access when I was in Memphis. And I was like, whoop, ready to download and play it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, playing Fallout 4 was really cool. I played, you know, games like Halo Infinite. Mm-hmm. I played through there. Here's the thing that I love about a Steam Deck. You could connect that to your TV. So you could play any of those games that you have through the device, playing on the TV. The only difference is it's like similar to the PC. You have to like fix the display resolution. How do you want it?
Yeah, there's some steps to do it.
Yeah. And sometimes the game might be too powerful, too strong for the handheld device. Mm-hmm. So you have to like play around like the FPS and all this other stuff in there. But overall, I love the Steam Deck. Steam Deck, I think Switch started everything, Nintendo Switch, and now having now PC games on the go, it's great. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen in the future.
Well, before we go to the future, we kind of skipped over the Switch, which, as you said, changed the game, but we didn't talk about how, because, you know, mm-hmm. we're discussing the scenario of plugging in a handheld console into the TV, which, you know, some might say defeats mm-hmm. the purpose, but it's nice to have options. Well, Nintendo Switch came out and said, well, here's the perfect hybrid, right? Like, mm-hmm. it is a fantastic handheld, and it is a decent home console all in one. And with what's really special about Nintendo is most of the time the games work flawlessly no matter how you're playing them. And the Switch is like maybe my favorite, well, Switch Lite technically for me, it's maybe my favorite Nintendo console to date. And it maybe edges out the N64 era. Which I think it's controversial. And we're talking about handhelds. I'm not going to go to all Nintendo consoles, but it's freaking great. Like, I've played mm-hmm. so many hours of so many games. I played Hades 1 on my Switch Lite, and it's fantastic. And I think they did a really great job with it. Obviously, the form factor at the Joy-Cons needed a little work. There were some issues for a lot of people with stick drift and with them coming out of their housing and becoming a little bit loose. But hopefully, as we're talking about future, the next Switch addresses some of those issues. And we've already seen some leaks and some rumors around the technology that may point to, you know, some perfected pieces of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before I talk about the Switch 2, I remember going to the store. I waited in line midnight, just hours at Best Buy, just waiting. Got my Nintendo Switch, took it home, started playing Zelda. I was like, my God, this looks so good. You know which part really surprised me the most, too?
About Breath of the Wild or about the Switch?
About the Switch. Playing the Switch mm-hmm. on my flight to Los Angeles from Miami for the first time.
Yeah.
And I don't play it at home. You know, home is cool. But actually, like, in the middle of nowhere, playing games like Zelda and later on Mario Kart and all that stuff mm-hmm. for the first time. That was mind blowing. Doing that on the go, like, man, this technology is genius. Like,
yeah.
The only part where I had to get used to was the battery life.
Oh, well, that's always a challenge with these things.
And even with the Steam Deck and the ROG Ally and this other devices where it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I know slowly, and I hope Nintendo makes it even better on their next device, the battery life on that.
Yeah.
And also just thinking about like graphically, how different is it going to be from the first Switch to this one? Because the rumors are saying is that this is going to be powerful as like the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 era around there, which is fine to me because at the end of the day, you don't need to play a game that looks real. Like, it's not about the graphics to me. It's
about the fun.
It's about the fun, the experience. Mm-hmm. That's something that Nintendo has that no other company has, is where they make games and it's not about the graphics. Like, yeah, some certain things will look cool, like, you know, Zelda, but like play a game like Animal Crossing or like Mario Kart, stuff like that, where graphic is not the greatest, but it looks good enough for me to just enjoy the game, you know?
Yeah, so. like and Nintendo isn't really known for photorealistic games, right? Like, they're known for animated and cartoonized style. Like, mm-hmm. that's the art style that you see for most Nintendo games anyway. But since we're now talking about the future of the Nintendo handheld, or no, we're not?
No, I have one more thing. I forgot to mention this.
Okay.
This is kind of important to mention this because it started with this device before the Switch, in a way. The Wii U.
Okay.
In a way. I don't know if we can
count the Wii U as a handheld because you do need the home console for it to work.
But here's the thing. The Wii U was a test for what we have now with the Switch because I was playing games on the go, but still in the house.
Yeah.
Using the device around, and then I'm with the controller. Because the controller, if you can think about it, is similar to the Switch. It's just thicker, you know. But but that's how I started playing that. Like, I remember playing Call of Duty. I can't remember which one it was, on the go, Mario Kart. A couple other games. I know Zelda, the Zelda we played on the Switch, also was available on the Wii U. It came out both at the same time, but everybody bought the majority of people bought the Switch. But Nintendo learned from their mistakes working on that console, and they're like, we could do this. We could create a device that people could play this on the go, but real on the go, not just home, outside of the house. They don't need a device to be next to the handheld device, you know. So, but yeah, the Wii U started everything, and now we have Switch, Steam Deck, and everything. Now, I know you want to talk about the future, and now is the right time to talk about the future.
Okay, because you started talking about it before, so I just wanted to make sure we're squarely on that topic change. The future of Nintendo's handheld. We know there's one coming that at least has been confirmed. We don't know exactly what it's called or what it'll look like, but something we have seen is technology that uses high-powered or highly efficient magnets in order to lock pieces in place to one another. So that points to more Joy-Cons, but with some upgraded technology. And for anybody who hasn't held a Switch or played a game that takes advantage of the Joy-Con technology, it actually has, what is it called? Rumble packs inside of each Joy-Con that make it feel like there are different things like inside the Joy-Con depending on what the game is programmed to do. So it'll feel like you're, you know, shaking a cup filled with dice, or like you're rolling a ball around inside the Joy-Con. And it is really, really impressive how different that feel is in your hand with each Joy-Con. But I don't feel like enough games really took advantage of that technology. Like, there's always some fun controller technology in each new generation that, you know, a couple of games try to do something interesting with, and then most of them just forget it's there. Or because they're porting from different places, they can't really do that kind of custom development. But I'm interested to see how these new Joy-Cons will work and if they will still have that technology, because as I said, not a lot of games used it. What do you think will be like the controller part of the next Switch?
I think it's going to be something similar, but better, bigger, maybe. And I like that this is just with a magnet version. I think that's really, really cool. I wonder how the analog sticks are going to be. I hope there's no drift issues like the previous version. Another thing I would like to mention too, it's something that's very important. You know, I bought, and I know a lot of people bought a lot of the digital games using the Switch.
Yeah.
Some people bought the physical version, everything like that, right? But the rumor is for this next handheld, you could just use your login from your previous account, the Switch 2, from the original Switch. And that will allow you to play all the games you already have purchased. You could replay it again on this new device, which is cool because Xbox, I think, have been doing that for a very long time, where all the games that you purchase on your previous console, you can still play it.
Yeah.
Nintendo was not good at that for a very, very long time. So yeah,
for backwards compatibility, it just isn't something that they made a priority.
No, so you have to like rebuy the game all over again. So
we all did it.
I'm glad. If this is true, I'm very happy to see that they're adding that and people can still play their old games. And now we could also play the new games for this device. I think that's awesome.
So what are some things that you want to see in the new Switch? I know personally for me, Bluetooth headphones is going to be a big one.
I mean, there is this is
keep in
weird.
Mind, I have a Switch Lite, so I don't have the latest and greatest OLED.
Well, here's the crazy part about that, something that a lot of people don't know. Out of nowhere, Nintendo released like an update, and they added Bluetooth through the console. And
for nobody knows about it.
For the Switch. All
which
the Switch
switches?
Versions. All the them? Switch. All the Switch.
So my Switch Lite could be using Bluetooth headphones right now?
Yep. And I don't know why that was so strange. Like, why would you add that years later?
Wait, how did they have the technology inside of it but not turned it on?
Look it up. It's online. Like, I remember they were like, wait, they added Bluetooth? What? So I think it was there. It wasn't available for people to use it. So yeah,
that's
some Bluetooth
keep it. I hope they keep it. Something else that I really hope is in the next Switch is, call me kind of a little goofy, but I really like the motion controls and the way that they do those Joy-Con controllers. You hear me gushing about it a few minutes ago. I really do hope they keep it. Like I know there's a possibility that not enough devs took advantage, so they may not think it's a priority, but it's really, really unique. And I think it makes it special and gives you a reason to detach those things, right? For certain games and certain experiences. Because if you're constantly playing it on the go, sure, it makes sense to have the ability to keep them attached to the screen unit, each of the Joy-Cons on the right and left side. But when you prop it up in, tablet mode and take those bad boys off and like either connect it to a controller housing or hold them in your two hands. Mm-hmm. There's just so many cool things you can do with that. And then I want to see, I personally would like to see Nintendo double down on it. And since Nintendo makes most of its own games, it would be really cool to see, some unique experiences using those new Joy-Cons. So I hope they keep that technology.
Yeah, I think, and this is something that I wish this version has. This is so much better than the previous one. Man, online voice chat. I don't want to just grab my phone.
Online is rough for them.
Yeah, it's very rough. But I don't mind the online part. Like, I guess not going to be exactly perfect, but the only request that I want is to have voice chat instead of me downloading an app on my phone connected to the device. I think that's just dumb, in my opinion. So
I would like an easier way to find my friends. Friend codes are long and confusing.
Well, it's not friend codes anymore. Now is it that I think friend codes, they stopped that a long time ago. This one is like the name. Yeah, this one is just the name. But it's still not like, here's the thing. Sometimes I see people playing all these games on their Switch and I see them like pop up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just nothing like, it's not like the PlayStation and Xbox where I'm like, hey, I invited them and come and play. Like, it's not.
Wait, go back a second. It's just their name. Cause like when you pop up, it's, or when someone pops up, it'll be like Eric. I'm like, that can't possibly be their name code. There's too many Erics. So what do you mean you don't use a code to find the.
I don't use a code. I remember using a couple of things. You could use your Facebook account or Twitter, where you have it. Twitter is not going to work anymore because they removed that, but you have that connected to your device and they'll show you people that are your friends on those social media accounts. You see them, their account through the Switch. Another thing too, if you had people using friend codes from like the old Wii U, you will also see them through there. And also, like, they'll do, like, this algorithm where, based on people that you're friends with, it's, like, similar to, like, Facebook. Like, hey, do you know this person? Like, it's something like that. Yeah. But
I missed all of this. I haven't played my Switch in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. But I don't remember putting any friend codes on this. I don't remember.
Yeah, here's the thing. The most recent time I added a friend, I had to use a friend code.
Really? Which
is very long and randomized numbers and letters, so it's not the easiest thing to do.
I'm gonna check right now, Nintendo ID. I don't think so. I know you just log in. Let me see. I just log in. This is a real time, folks, for those who are watching and listening. Yeah, like I don't see anything with codes on this one. So we're good. We're good.
All right.
Well. Yeah. Another thing, I'm trying to think of this. Anything else I would like to see? Oh, battery life, of course.
Obviously.
But battery life is very, very important. I would love to see this lasting a lot longer, especially like bigger games, games that they can't handle much on like the device. Like let's say playing Zelda on the original Switch, that was like a good 2 hours. Battery life, or even less, all depends on that. So, yeah, but if you play a smaller game like Hades, the system is gonna last a lot longer.
Yeah,
with battery life.
Mm-hmm. I'll say one last thing that I would like to see on the next Switch is like more like options for resistance and the triggers. Right now, I play Switch Lite, so it is, you know, a lighter version, but the triggers feel a bit flimsy to me, like they don't really have any weight to them. And I think that would help a lot with if I'm playing a little bit more of a Twitch skill or challenging game like Fortnite, right? Like to feel like I'm getting some kind of feedback in the triggers and it's not just a floppy button. Just if you're listening, I'm flopping my fingers up and down like they're limp. Like it could feel a little bit more grippy, more juicy for me.
Yeah, you know, I think another thing that I would love to see this on the Switch 2 is the screen, because I love the OLED device. I love the screen on that.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty fantastic screen.
It's really, really pretty. Yeah. How about this one? Is it going to be a little bit bigger?
Maybe.
Is
it going
to be OLED or what? Because Nintendo is very known to have
low tech. Cheap,
cheap materials for like device. I mean, it lasts a very long time, but they need to make this to feel like a better device that is not cheap. Like, it doesn't feel cheap. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, they may throw you another LCD screen and just say, deal with it, and everybody will buy it.
Look, if you compare to the original Switch and the OLED, oh man, the OLED feels good. Like, it feels really, really good.
But costs a premium, and that's how they roll.
Also, and this is more for like going to the store and buying games there. I just hope it's a lot faster and smoother, because sometimes from the original Switch, it could be a little bit slow.
Yeah.
And this is the problem that I've seen also with Steam. It's a lot of spam, a lot of like games that
shovelware.
It's not that good. Mm-hmm. So I think they need to slow down about that. It's not about the quantity.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the quality.
Quality
of games. That's because I discovered a lot of indie games through the Switch. Lots of indie games.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So.
Very cool.
One of my requests.
That's one future console, but we also know there is another one on the horizon from our pals over at Xbox. So, Danny.
Well, we don't know much about that, but yes, a rumor.
We don't know much, but I'll start off by saying, let's maybe get some just kind of ping pong back and forth things that we'd like to see in an Xbox handheld. I know for me personally, cloud gaming would be fantastic, but even more wonderful would be the ability to play natively on that device offline. Mm-hmm. And we saw recently Sony release a handheld or a portable console that did not allow you to play games if you weren't connected to the internet. And I feel like that was just dead on arrival for me. Like, the whole point is that I can play it on the go, on the plane, if the internet goes down, if I'm away from the house, that's a deal breaker, right? So I feel like for me, that is a must have. What about you? What's a must have for the next Xbox handheld rumored console?
Must have. The dashboard that we use now, I want that to be available there. I could connect, see all my friends, invite them, voice chat, everything. The store.
You're naming a lot of things.
Well, the store where I could go and buy the games, or go to like the Game Pass subscription store, and just download the games and just play on the go, that type of thing. Because here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. A couple of days ago, there was an update for all the current Xbox devices, and in that that update, it has multiple Wi-Fi connections. So usually, when you play like Nintendo Switch and you go to like a location, it'll save. I'll go to another one, it'll save, and I'll see multiple saves for Wi-Fi connections. So they added this under this new update, because the reason I'm mentioning this, the rumor is this device is coming out for the handheld Xbox is basically an Xbox Series S. It's just on the go.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful. So
very powerful. And I'm good with that because I love the S, you know, but having that update, I think it's coming. Is it this year? We don't know.
Okay. So we were talking about what we want in the console. You went all the way to predicting when it's coming out.
But I'm saying for me, I think the store and my friend list and everything, just the UI, just want that to be very, very
experience.
Smooth. So that's what I want.
Yeah. I think that would really go a long way in making it feel like it truly is a console, right? And not just a mobile experience, which is, you know, what a lot of handhelds can fall into, especially if you're not playing anything offline, right? Like that's important. What else? What else would you want to see?
Battery life, I think, is very, very important. Learn from the mistakes from other companies. Though?
Like, what's the sweet spot for battery life? Because of course, more is more, but it can't weigh 40 pounds. So, like, what's your minimum battery life playing your average demand game?
I think 3 to 5 hours.
Yeah, that's like a sweet spot.
Around there, because I mean, playing a system for only an hour and a half or 2 hours, that's not much.
No,
you know? So I have to. Because here's the thing. Sometimes when you travel, some planes have outlets, some don't.
Right.
So unless you have like a backup battery pack around where you could just charge your device. Because I know you could connect like through the USB-C to somewhere else. Like you could connect. And sometimes it's not that fast as a charger because it's so the system is so powerful.
Yeah.
So, just that. I think 3 to 5 hours, I think, is like pretty good for me for this type of thing.
For me, one thing I'll say that I don't need a touch screen. I know it's very popular in a lot of handhelds and a lot of controllers in general, like more recently. And I don't know if they're trying to, you know, recreate the mobile experience, like the dual sense or dual edge. I can't remember what their most recent PlayStation controller's name is. Mm-hmm. Has one. There's one on the Steam Deck. Like, I don't need that. Like, just let me use a joystick. Like, we know how those work. It's fine. Like, there are attachments to make those more accessible for people with limited mobility. Like there's just so many reasons why the toggles, like the analog sticks, are just, that's all we need. Like, don't spend R&D and real estate on the controller itself on a touchpad. I don't need it. Like, just don't do that, please. I'd much rather have other things than a touchpad.
No, I completely understand where you're coming from. I use the touchscreen sometimes, like to type. It's a lot quicker. I don't want to use the controller. You know.
So no, the touchscreen, yes, but the separate pad, like a trackpad, I don't need that.
So, like, similar to what?
Like on the Steam Deck.
The Steam Deck, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I never use it.
I never use it. I mean, I used it for, like, RTS games or, like, certain things. I'm like, but I use it for, like, a couple times, and everything is just analog sticks for me.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Anything else?
Definitely needs to have both the 35mm head jack and Bluetooth headphones. Like, we need 100%. Bluetooth headphones.
100%.
Non-negotiable. That's a deal breaker for me if I can't use headphones. Bluetooth headphones.
I just hope the screen is not sensitive to get scratched.
Yeah, like, you mean like the glass coating or whatever?
They did a way better job with the OLED. Mm-hmm. But the original Switch, man, I was getting scratched left and right. Yeah. You know, so, but Xbox, learn from that too. Gotta learn
also, anti-glare. Why isn't everything just by default an anti-glare screen?
That's a great thing. Like, yeah.
You know we're going to be playing it outside. Come on.
Yeah. Help us out. Yeah. Also, the speakers. I hope the speaker sounds good. Because, you know, sometimes I don't want to wear a headset. I just
if you're in a house and
whatever. I want people to listen to what I'm playing.
Yeah. I hope that it has decent connectivity and kind of bringing it full circle, because I know we've been going kind of long on this episode. I guess we had a lot to say about handhelds. But going back to the original Game Boy, where you can LAN party that shit, like, wouldn't that be an interesting throwback? Wouldn't that be an interesting functionality if you can sync up with other Xbox handhelds, whatever. I don't know what the fake name is for it. And like, let's say you have one and I have one and our friends come over and they have theirs and we have a little LAN party in our house and like on our internet connection. Like, wouldn't that be fun? You know?
Yeah. You know what I remember? And I can't remember the name of it. It was for the original DS, where I'll walk around. Was it the DS or the 3DS? I think it was the DS.
I didn't have any of them.
You will walk around and you will get other people that also have a device, and you could add them to your, I don't know if it's like your friends or collect, I don't know.
And so like a proximity, like notification of like who around you has one.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what was the feature. Oh my God, it's been so long. But man, I used to use that all the time, especially going to the airport. I see a bunch of people that connect, that I just pass by them and they pop up on my device, and I could add them in there. That was really cool.
That is cool.
Really, really cool. Yeah, really, really cool. DS friends. I don't remember. It's been so long. But anybody's watching this, please let us know in the comments, because it's been so long. I don't remember. But yeah. It was a great conversation overall. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot to look forward to in the world of handhelds. I'm glad there's still a thing, right? I'm glad that there's been enough of a use case and a demand and support for it that we keep getting more, because, you know, especially now as new parents, the way we play games is a lot of the times it's sitting on the couch with something else on the TV, right? Mm-hmm, and it's important to be able to take things on the go with you when you travel. And you know, eventually we'll hand one of these over to our little girl and she'll play on it. So it's really exciting to see that the handheld console is still in our future.
And, you know, full circle on this one I'm about to say. So I was on TikTok months ago. And they gave this little girl the original Game Boy to see what she's going to do. You know what she was doing?
Tapping the screen.
Going like this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I looked trying at to that. Touch I, was the like, screen. I was like, oh my God, I feel old. I feel old. And it was Tetris. They had Tetris on. She was just, didn't know what to do.
Well, hey, don't worry. Our kid will have plenty of good Twitch skills. She's going to know what a D-pad is before she goes to school.
100%. And also for those that have mobile devices, there's so many great games that you could just play.
So many great games. We should do an episode on mobile games, because I think there's a lot that we could talk about there.
We should. And also tablets, because this relates to mobile. But
for sure.
Yeah, like I right now I've been playing the new Call of Duty game, Warzone, on mobile. It looks fantastic on that. And in the past, and which we'll talk about it too, I played Dead Space, a different story of Dead Space on the iPad. And it was great. It was amazing. Great, great story. Great, great game. So, but we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening to the Danny and Rihanna Show. We're going to be back next week
with
another discussion, another topic. And we definitely got to talk about mobile. In the future.
For sure. Yeah, we got a lot of ideas of what we can bring up next. So we'll see what we talk about. But if you're watching or listening, let us know. What do you want to hear us talk about next? Because there's a lot going on, and Summer Game Fest, a video game exhibition, is coming up right around the corner, just a couple weeks away. So let us know what you want to hear us investigate and report back on.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about our experience and stuff that we like.
Oh, for sure. Talk about. Yeah, we'll definitely do a recap, because, you know, mom and dad going to gaming events, we got to let people know how it is.
Definitely, definitely. All right, everyone. Until next time, we're out. Bye. Bye.